honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a fascinating chat with 97-year-old World War II veteran Les Doyle of Strathmore, California. Maybe he put your car back together for you there once upon a time. We've got some good photos up for you on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, including the unique bullet sculpture Les made when he returned from World War II, honoring the P-38 pilot who saved his life. You'll also see some of the amazing restoration work he's done on classic Chevys and see a picture of Les with his lovely wife, Erlene. They met shortly after they both lost spouses 30 years ago, and they're still keeping each other on their toes. Les told us about his service in New Guinea and the Philippines with the 274th Signal Heavy Construction Company, running and repairing phone lines for communication, a sometimes dangerous job. Any other experiences from your time over there that really stand out to you now, Les?
Well, I got a humorous comment.
Love it.
There at Baguio one day, I had been on an errand down to another area. And when I got back and I parked my Jeep on the hillside there at the bombed out Baguio, I went on and back to my company and took care of a couple of obligations. When I went back over there, my Jeep was gone. So I scouted around and I found my Jeep down at the foot of the hill, thank goodness. But there was always something unusual going on, new experiences constantly.
Well, here's another question that came to mind, and maybe there's something there, maybe there's not. Because I know how much you appreciated your trip to Washington, D.C. You've got a scrapbook here with outstanding pictures from your time on Central Valley Honor Flight. The memorial that you visited there, the National World War II Memorial, honors the more than 406,000 Americans who didn't come home. And you just told us how close you came to being one of those that would have been represented by the gold stars in Washington. Were there any people you knew, whether there were guys you were in the service with or people you went to school with, that are among that number who didn't come home?
No, I didn't lose anyone that I was close to.
I remember what I was going to ask you about. Your scrapbook here had a little note that I thought was interesting, and it tells me there's a story behind it. So you have a newspaper clipping from way back, and it's alluding to something in 1945.
G.F. Shaney, Lester Doyle, Leroy Sylvie, Al Atwood, and Emmett Hamilton, all of Porterville, met on Luzon in the Philippine Islands. And I thought this was great. I hadn't seen any of these fellows, but to meet up with them was just a fantastic uplift to me.
Did you guys know each other were there, or you just happened to run into each other?
No, I was elsewhere. I wasn't with these fellows here. I was separated from my outfit doing other jobs for some time, so I never seen my company there. And when I finally got back to my company, they were located, seems to me like that was up around the Lingayen Gulf.
But that had to be something. In the middle of a war where you've had multiple situations where your life was on the line, you're shooting the breeze with buddies from high school.
Yeah, it was amazing to finally get back to my outfit and find out that there was still some fellas there that, were my friends.
And, another thing that I saw in your scrapbook, you have three pictures from Hiroshima in the fall of 1945. So the first atomic bomb is dropped in August, a few days later, the second atomic bomb, and shortly after, a week later, Japan voices its intent to surrender. But you got to visit the aftermath. You saw that in person when it was still very fresh. What do you remember about that?
I visited Hiroshima in 45. After it was already bombed out. To see something, you're always up to this point here when there was total destruction of an area. We've still seen structures still standing. But Hiroshima, whenever they dropped the big bomb, why, it just totally annihilated everything in its path.
I imagine that had to make an impression on you a little bit.
Well, When I first saw it, I wondered how in the world a bomb, you know, could destroy so much area. And then we had to realize that what type of bomb it was.
And, I mean, you were there soon enough after this blast that there still could have been radiation floating around, too.
Yes, that's a possibility. I wondered about that at the time. Some of these bombs carried so much destruction in them that a lot of it we didn't understand.
Do you remember what it was like to come home, to come back to the States?
Well, to get back home, I thought was a miracle because I had literally seen so much in my time I spent in the war zone that I'm still comment that I am one privileged individual to be here talking to you because of to what I experienced. I'm a survivor.
Amen. And you've had quite a few experiences since then. And you went to work as an auto body mechanic right away?
Yes, I started auto mechanicking when I was 13 years old and horse-drawn farm machinery too, rebuilding them. And so as a young person, I started learning how to do all of this.
And a lot of people don't know, but here in Strathmore, California, there's a Chevrolet museum with more than 50 cars in it, and they look as good as they look because of you. What's the story there?
During 20 years of my retirement, I got acquainted with a local man here, Tom Maleo. He had a Chevrolet collection of old cars. Then I started restoring these cars for him. And so for 20 years in my retirement, I repaired and painted these old antique cars. And that is quite a collection for you to visualize today.
I know this is an impossible question, but do you have a favorite among them? Was there one particular car that gave you a lot of satisfaction to make it look real snappy?
Well, I'll have to be honest with you because I'm a 1925 model, and this 1925 Chevrolet Roadster, it was really a basket case, really beat up and whatnot. But if you walked around the car today, it'd look like a new one to you because I totally restored it.
There's something else that you fixed up that anybody can see anytime if they drive through Porterville, California, because there's a Vietnam-era medevac helicopter on display. It's lifted up in the air on a post. It's got the Red Cross on the side. You had a big hand in making that look as sharp as it did, huh?
Yes, I have this plaque from the Vietnam Veterans Committee. It just thanks me for my enhancement of the bird. And so this helicopter mounted on a pedestal there in the Porterville Veterans Park, I did a lot of refurbishing on it to get it in the condition that it is in today. And so it's quite a thing to visualize in the Porterville Veterans Park.
Yeah, and that's a gift that people are going to be enjoying for a long, long time because you were willing to give of yourself, as I can tell you have really for your whole life. And I've got a couple more questions for you, but I can't forget to ask you about the honor flight. I've been in a lot of homes where there's an honor flight photo, and some of them have scrapbooks. But looking through yours, I can tell this was really an impactful experience for you. What was it about the honor flight that meant so much to you?
Well, the honor flight to honor veterans of the war there, and I just felt honored myself to be a part of the honor flight that I went on to be with all these other veterans that served also and be a part of that. I think that's a great tribute to we veterans that went over there and did our job.
And you had a fellow veteran serving as your guardian who's pretty special to you. Tell me who went with you on that trip.
Yeah, my younger brother, John Doyle, he went with me on that honor flight. And so it was nice to have a family member with me.
Yeah, and he served in the Air Force later on. Was there a part of that trip? I know it's been a while. I mean, it's been almost 8 years since you went to Washington, D.C. with Honor Flight. Hard to believe. We're marking our 10th year with that group this year. Was there part of that whole experience that really stood out to you as the most meaningful or the most touching?
No, just the idea that this was marked as a tribute to we veterans that were there and served during this time. I was just thrilled to be a part of that group.
And you've got some pictures in your scrapbook, and some of it's family and the crowd, but We see the crowd. There are a whole lot of people in red, white, and blue waiting for you when you came back. What did those moments feel like when the band's playing and everybody's cheering and you're the reason why?
That certainly makes you proud, you know. Nothing could make you any prouder than to have a band and people waiting for you to cheer you on. I think that was great.
If there's anything else that's important for you to share, feel free. I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for your example of serving your community and others for so many years. One thing I neglected to mention is you were in uniform during the Korean War, too. But you didn't have to go as far. What were you doing in the 1950s?
In the 50s, I had two younger brothers in Korea. And being the type of person I was, I volunteered and went into the active reserves. So I spent 50 to 53 in the active reserves because I just felt it was something I wanted to do or needed to do.
So what did they have you doing?
I was just with my unit, you know, just doing my just regular job.
The same kind of stuff you did in World War II?
Yes, same thing that I did during the war.
But they had you here in California?
Yes. My base unit was stationed in Visalia, so it was local here. Then went off to special summer camp training and whatnot. Went up to state of Washington for some of that. But it was a good time. I've always enjoyed my service time for my country.
And your brothers both made it home from Korea?
Yes. My brothers both made it home from Korea. One of them got shot in the knee, but thankful for a good patch-up job, why he had many years of use out of it.
Well, I guess that's a question, too, because you're the third out of eight kids in your family. How many of you are still with us now?
My brother John, my sister Lois, and myself, three of us.
And you're the elder statesman at 97 years young, and I say it that way because I can tell you're still active. I've got a couple questions for you. First one, when you think back over these 97 plus years, is there something that you would say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
The thing that I'm most thankful for is returning home from the war, being there and being a part of that and seeing all what went on. And then I was in the midst of it and I was able to come home. And I think that's a miracle in itself.
And on the flip side of that, you've done a lot in 97 years, but is there anything you haven't done yet that's still on your list that you're saying, hey, I want to do this while I'm still here?
No, there isn't really anything that I'm looking forward to trying to achieve or anything rather like that. I'm just grateful and thankful for each day that I have. And this has been a great time for me to share a little bit here. I think this man's doing a great job for you.
Well, we're just trying to make sure you get what's due you. I wonder also, you know, because most of the people listening to this didn't live through World War II. They don't know what it was like to be up trimming an umbrella tree and finding out that Pearl Harbor was bombed, or going over to the Pacific and thinking a giant lizard's going to eat you, or a sniper's going to get you, or a plane's going to shoot you. They didn't live through that. Is there something you think we need to understand about World War II and what happened, and why it still should matter today?
You know, when I landed down in the islands with MacArthur, when he told the people when they were run out of there, literally had to leave the area, he told the people that he had returned. And years later, this took place. And I happened to be with MacArthur when he returned. So I think that was a great privilege in my life. He was a great leader. General MacArthur was, and I certainly appreciated the man because he stood his ground, and those of us who helped him, we got credit for that, being there to help him through the situation that needed to be taken care of.
Have you ever been back there to the Philippines?
No, I haven't been back. Well, at my age, I don't know how the trip would... Oh, sure, it'd be something to look forward to. But considering my age, why, I'm content to talk about it and let be.
Les Doyle, 97 years young and pretty spry, as he demonstrated while taking me on a tour of those 50 classic Chevrolets that he restored, some of them more than 100 years old. You can find some photos and video of that at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And I hope you can join us again next time when we'll be reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.